everyone, and welcome to today's edition of the This Is My Lockdown podcast. I personally haven't been excited about the term lockdown, and considering we might be going into another one, I'm still not excited. But since COVID has begun, it's only meant more restrictions and isolation from the ones we love. And it's been hard for everyone, yeah. But I recently found out that lockdown is synonymous with a safe space. And that's what I hope to create with this podcast, a safe space to discuss mental health and well-being issues in these trying times. I hope that with the discussions that we have over the next few months, we will be able to transform the narrative regarding mental illness and the mental health issues in our communities in this safe space. These discussions will inspire us to prioritize our well-being, realize the strengths and capabilities within our Black and Afro-Caribbean communities, and break the stigma surrounding mental health. I'm excited to go on this journey with you. My name is Angela Kuma, and this is my lockdown. We're sponsored by The Big Lottery and the This Is My City brand. And you're welcome to today's session, or today's episode of This Is My Lockdown podcast.
Hi.
Hi.
I have with me today Natalie Graham and Rebecca Hemmings. I'm with the stars today, so I'm trying to keep it cool, you know. But a little brief into what Rebecca does. Rebecca Hemmings is the director of Time to Glow Up, and it's a personal development brand and a podcast as well. So she has a lot of experience here. I looked through quite a number of her topics and I was like, oh, this is interesting. I should sign up. She is a certified coach and a fitness professional. And Rebecca tries to use her brand to help women to glow up from the inside out. She also runs Strawberry Words, which is a training consultancy. Rebecca is also a breast cancer survivor. And given that we just ended Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I find this really inspiring and interesting. So hopefully she can talk a bit about it when we get into the discussions. And so she's used a lot of experience to focus on glowing up, thriving post-trauma, and living life according to her true purpose, which is motivating and inspiring others to live their best possible lives. So, yeah, we're all living our best lives, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Trying to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to help people to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's exciting to have you on the show today.
Thank you.
I also have with me Natalie Graham. And Natalie is a record label owner. She's a manager, executive producer, writer, BBC radio presenter. I did tell you I was rolling with the stars today, so yeah. And she's also the manager and daughter of British soul music pioneer Jackie Graham. Big stuff. Natalie's experience has developed from her years within business. And she's done a lot of tours. She has so much experience within the music and entertainment industry. I personally had the chance to be in one of her webinars, and I found that very inspiring, talking about creatives during this period and what to look out for, what to focus on. Natalie has her show on the BBC radio, West Midlands, 5 nights a week. Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, so... yeah, they have a lot of experience talking on radio and podcast, and I'm the novice here, so yeah, but you're welcome. Would you like to tell us a little more about yourselves, Natalie and Rebecca?
Well, I think pretty much from what you've just described there, it's just, I mean, I'm one of the reasons I'm here as well is because I was brought on board earlier on this year as an ambassador for This Is My City Birmingham, which I'm very proud of.
Yeah.
And I think just the whole you were saying with regards to lockdown, then... I've had the experience of being someone who's a manager and having to deal with musicians and how they now have to navigate through the whole lockdown and the impact that it's having on them not being able to go out and perform.
Yeah.
But then on the other side of the fence as well, from a radio perspective, because I'm on sort of several stations across the Midlands, I get a lot of feedback from the general public who are listening at home. And there's so many people who have been on their own since everything began back in March, and as you've mentioned, we're about to go into yet another lockdown, which they've said is 4 weeks, but I think they're already kind of insinuating that it's going to go on a bit longer. So is it going to sort of see us through the Christmas period? Who knows? But then the messages that I'm getting from a lot of the listeners as well, in terms of the impact that it's had on people who would normally be really, really sort of strong of mind. Mm-mm. But even for them, you know, the cracks are starting to show. So for those who are a lot more vulnerable, it's upsetting to see. It's very, very concerning and sort of very worrying, which is one of the reasons why when I was asked to come on today, I thought, well, it's a perfect opportunity to sort of highlight everything that's taking place at the moment. And I mean, I don't really do a lot. I just sort of sit there and sort of play music and tell a few anecdotes and a little bit of banter on the show. But it's just, there's a lot of people who need their spirits lifting. Who are actually on their own as well. They've not really seen anybody other than maybe sort of, you know, a family friend that goes and does a little bit of shopping for them. They've got no interaction. So all they've got is either themselves and, you know, maybe their dog, or I've got someone who's got a budgie who's sort of, you know, one of their good friends. And it's them and either the TV or the radio. And a lot of people now are not wanting to watch the TV anymore because they're just being absolutely bombarded. And they've had enough. So, I'm there to sort of just be a voice. Well, seeing as I can't really do much on the music front at the minute, my main focus is doing what I can for the people who are at home listening to try and bring some kind of comfort, even if it's just a little bit.
For me, I'm also very conscious of how a lot of Black and brown people are feeling at the moment. You know, I do the Time to Glow Up stuff, which is more the fun stuff. But, you know, you mentioned the fact I'm the director of Strawberry Words, which deals with anti-racism. And so I'm having a lot of conversations with people, with organisations. And what I'm finding is that there are a lot of particularly Black women who are just really struggling right now, because not only are we going through a period of, you know, going through a pandemic, but we're going through a time where our very identities are under the spotlight. And we're having to deal with a lot of stuff that perhaps you might have not discussed in a work forum before, and now everybody wants to talk about it. That's quite traumatic. I feel that through having these conversations, more people are actually becoming more stressed, but at the same time, there's more of an awakening in the general population about what some of those racial difficulties are. So in the long term, it's a good thing. But right now, it is putting people under pressure.
And I mean, it's definitely a difficult time. And then with all the conversations around racism, as you have talked about, and COVID, it's just like you're being bombarded with things from every side, and you just can't catch a break. And today we're going to discuss a bit of a sensitive topic to everyone, especially women. And men have their, you know, issues as well with body image, especially now during COVID when everybody's home. There's a lot of food poverty as well. People have lost their jobs. There's not as much access to fresh food. There's not as much access to physical activity and exercise. The gyms are closing again come Thursday. And there's just a lot of uncertainty and insecurity about how am I looking? Am I putting on weight? Do I feel healthy? Do I look healthy? Are people noticing that I've put on weight, you know? And I mean, weight is a sensitive topic everywhere. And that translates immediately also to eating disorders. I'm a clinical psychologist as well. So that's a really big area for me, understanding eating disorders and people's motivations behind not wanting to go near food. And I've had my personal experiences growing up. I told my mother straight in her face that I never wanted to be as fat as her. And my mother was like, my mother used to be really thin, you know, but she had like 6 kids and then she had surgery, so she put on weight.
If my daughter ever.
I know, right? She didn't smack me. I'm surprised. I come from Ghana. I would have had it straight up, you know.
I would not be sat here now.
No, right? But I told her, big stomach, big buttocks. I don't like that.
Oh, wow.
And I still have an auntie who makes a joke about it. That look at you now.
How old were you?
I'm 26.
No, how old were you then?
I was like 5 or 6.
Oh, okay.
Feeling little. But that actually came up because a neighbor had seen me and told me, you've become fat. He told me, I was 6. And I'm like, that's so rude. But I told him, he said, very soon you can't walk to school. And I told him, that's fine. I can roll down the road. I'll get to school faster. Smart mouth. But ever since then, I stopped eating. You couldn't get me to eat. You couldn't get me to eat. Like, I'll just have a cup of tea, have a little bread, and that's the only thing I used to like. My father said I used to drink more tea than the Queen of England, and I didn't even live in the UK then. I lived in Ghana. But it was just because of that one thing somebody had said, and I grew up with it. thinking, I can't put on weight, I can't put on weight. I didn't really have any eating disorders, I didn't purge or anything, but I just wanted to stay away from food. And if I realized I was putting on a little bit of weight, oh my God, like, don't even say it. And in Ghana, they greet you by saying, hey, you've put on weight. That's how people say that. Say, how are you? And it absolutely, totally upset me. I remember going on a rant like 2 years ago. I just picked up my phone and did a Facebook video. And I'm like, stop telling me I put on weight. I hate it. You are the reason why people are anxious about how they look. You are the reasons why people have eating disorders. You are the reason why people do not like how they look. So yes. Just stop it.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really sensitive issue. And every time I'm like, okay, I don't want to talk about it. But as I'm growing up, I'm beginning to get more comfortable in my skin. And I've never been overweight. But, you know, it's just you've put on weight. And you've become more conscious of how am I looking and all of that. So, I mean, now during this COVID period, I'm just going to throw out a few stats. A study was conducted by some researchers in Anglia Ruskin. And they interviewed 506 people, and 255 women and 251 men. And of this group, so many people came back to say that they had increased stress and anxiety because they didn't have coping mechanisms or coping resources to manage their threats to body image, the constant exposure now to social media and, you know, thin ideals, everybody's posting their workout videos and everything online now. Everybody's posting their diets and their keto diets, you know. And basically everybody's glued to their phones because they have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And there's also the issue of constantly having to be on video conferencing. And I didn't even realize it until I read the paper. But basically, I'm talking to you now, we're looking at each other. But if I was sitting in front of, like, I mean, my computer doing a Zoom call, I'm going to be looking at myself half of the time. And I'm going to be realizing, ooh, cheeks. And we're constantly staring at ourselves. And that's all we get to see now because we can't sit face to face and all of that. And I mean, just basically trying to have discussions around this. So, I mean, that's what we're going to be talking about today. So.
Okay.
Well, I think you've said in terms of, you know, what is the right size? I think that's the most important thing. There is no right size. You've got, you know, depending on sort of heights, and there's so many different parameters to take into consideration. And it's who do we measure against? You know, you see I've been to plenty of sort of fashion shows and all that kind of stuff and seen the catwalk models, and that's what's sort of portrayed. But then at the same time, those items of clothing that you then find in the store, is it the average size? I don't know if it's the average size in the UK or worldwide, but the average size, is it 16?
14.
Is it 14 or
maybe
16?
Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought it was 14.
Yeah, I think my mum mentioned 16, but then you're hearing of sort of size zeros and so on and so forth. I mean, I'm sort of generally a 10 to 12, and I'm one of these that I'm not a big believer in diets. I personally feel that everything is about balance.
So I was going to say, I feel it's also about focusing on your health as opposed to your image.
Yeah.
Because if you're focused on being healthy, naturally you won't be overweight. You'll focus more on preventing disease. You'll focus more on having, you know, a lower blood pressure, for instance, as opposed to, you know, how am I going to fit in these size 10 or 8 jeans? It's not about that. And I think you lack, you know, we all love food. We all love eating out. And I think it's really hard. It's a really difficult fight to fight against, you know, your desires, your innate desires, as opposed to actually working towards what essentially will keep you alive.
Yeah.
You know, for me, certainly, that's been a driver. When I started to focus on my health as opposed to how I looked, things just changed drastically.
Can I just ask then, on that basis, because obviously the fact that you've come through breast cancer, when it comes to the health side of things, is that something you were conscious of or as conscious of before the cancer, or is it once that you were diagnosed, then you sort of, that's when you take a step back and think, hold on a minute, this is I need to just look at my whole lifestyle here. Yeah. It's not about the fitting into the jeans anymore.
Yeah.
That's just a completely side aspect. Was it at that point, that's when you thought, I need to look at the health.
I thought I was health conscious. You know, I was into Dr. Sebi. I was into, you know, all the HIIT workouts. I mean, I was a fitness trainer, but I didn't eat all that healthily. And actually, in the months just before I got diagnosed, I had a sugar addiction. At Christmas, I got bought a whole bottle of Baileys. I was never a drinker, but I drank this whole bottle of Baileys, and I just overindulged. It's like my body just knew something was wrong. And so, yes, what changed was my motivation.
Right.
And so, you know, even before I was diagnosed again, I tried to become vegetarian quite a few times, but I just was in,
meat.
I remember, yeah, exactly. I gave up meat for about 2 months, and then I went to my mom's house, and I'd always have the rice and peas. And one day I thought, okay, let me have some gravy. And so every Sunday I'd have the rice and peas and gravy and the vegetables. And then one day a tiny piece of chicken dropped in the gravy, and that was it. It was all over. So that was pre-cancer. But you see, once I got diagnosed, like from the day even I suspected something was wrong, I stopped eating meat.
Okay.
Stopped eating dairy, because I knew that's what a lot of people did when they got diagnosed. I've never eaten meat since. It's been 3.5 years. And don't get me wrong, I can still appreciate the smell of a jerk chicken, but I just know what it did for me. And what it did for me, I should say, is that I got diagnosed and then I had surgery. So I had a mastectomy. And in that time, nothing had changed. I hadn't any medication or anything. All that had changed was my diet. And so the size of the cancer or the tumor before, when I got diagnosed to when I was operated on, had drastically reduced. It was smaller. I can only put that down to my diet. So for me, that's enough motivation to know that, whoa, I didn't need to be having all that animal fat and the hormones and everything else in my body. And I don't sit here preaching. For me, that was the right answer. I don't say to everybody, you must become vegan. And I'm not vegan. I still eat fish. But I know there's something in it. And so I don't do that. So that for me, that was the driver.
Yeah. Okay. That's really interesting. I mean, talking about the question you asked, pre-diagnosis and post-diagnosis, if things change. And I'm relating it to my own condition because I recently got diagnosed with diabetes type 1 in February. And that was really scary for me because before that, I was losing a lot of weight. And I thought, ooh, I can fit in these jeans now. But I didn't know what was wrong with me. And I was constantly tired. I thought it was just work and school and PhD and I had to move houses and I had a crazy landlady and it was all a lot of stresses. But I didn't realize that I was sick until like I got diagnosed and I'm like, okay, I need to make a lot of lifestyle changes. And I definitely hate having to like measure the amount of insulin I have to take with my carbs before I eat. But it definitely gave me a lot of consciousness about what am I putting in my body and how is it affecting me? What's it doing inside of me? And yeah, I mean, these things are life-changing moments, you know, but sometimes I hope we don't have to all get there before we decide to make these changes. Yes.
And this is what I grapple with, because it's like, well, how do you convince other people that, like, how do you say, well, look, you don't have to go through what I went through in order to change or to motivate yourself to eat healthily? You know, be warned by my story. I was lucky. It was found early. I still had to go through that surgery, but I was lucky. You don't have to go through that. And I think it's really about using the imagination.
Yeah.
I think it's really about putting yourself in, imagining the worst case scenario, what could happen. Because when I thought I might die, like I'll do anything. I'd cross the earth to go and, you know, find the answer to not dying. And so I think because the brain doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's imagined.
Mm.
So if you can put yourself in a position to really realistically, vividly create that picture of what life might look like if you did nothing or you just continue to eat unhealthily, you might then be motivated enough to make those changes.
What do they say? Is it prevention is better than cause?
Than cure.
Than the cure.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But I mean, I've touched wood. I've sort of health-wise been okay. My dad's diabetic. A few years back, he had to have major heart surgery. And I've sort of certain little health issues, which for me was stress-related when I was younger, sort of made me take a look and think, right, okay, whilst my dad was going through his procedures, he was on so many different tablets. I mean, at one stage, he was on about 17 different tablets a day. And it's like 1,000 milligrams of this, 1,000 milligrams of this. And half the tablets that they were saying were keeping him alive were also creating so many other ailments within his body. And it just got to the point where, I'm no doctor, and I just said, Dad, I need to take you off these, because it was just changed who he was as a person, because he had so much going on in his body. And I sort of started to look into certain health things. So I'm a big believer. We've got sort of cancer runs in my mom's side of the family. And, you know, we've lost friends to cancer. We've had others that have come through, just had their 10-year all clear. So I've been one of these that's really conscious about what I put in my body. Now, I'm not a vegetarian. I am a meat eater, but I am at that stage now where I'm trying to sort of cut down or have, you know, 2 or 3 days where I just don't eat meat, or try and go down having more fish or chicken as opposed to anything else. But I've got my multivitamins. I mean, I'm a big believer in things like your black seed oil I have in the morning. CBD is massive, and I know that that's something when it comes to whether it's people who have cancer or epilepsy or MS, it's got so many benefits. So I think I'm one of these that sort of just thinks, right, okay, I've got my multivitamins, what can I do to try and make sure that my immune system is as strong as it can possibly be. My family, my mom, my dad, my brother said, now what are you giving us? I'm like, don't ask any questions, it's good for you, just take it.
You know, I imagine you do that also because you think you're worth it, and I think a lot of people don't necessarily value themselves enough or to have enough self-esteem to think that actually I'm worth this journey, because that's, you know, it's great. I think people look at, you know, veganism, vegetarianism from the outside, or and look at it and think, oh, that's a nice thing to do, but I just couldn't do it. But if, and I'm not, as I said, I'm not preaching about that. I don't think that's necessarily the only ways that you can become healthy and prevent disease. You know, a lot of this is our environmental. But I think if you care enough about yourself, you will take those steps to become healthier, to go and get the, you know, the extra vitamins or whatever it might be. But if you don't, it just seems like a nice thing to do. And again, I talk from experience, because I used to be like that. I used to think, oh, yeah, it would be nice to have those vitamins. It'd be good. I've heard about this. But, you know, I didn't get it. I just think didn't think it was that important.
Yeah. But, I mean, especially during this period when our Maslow's theory of needs is right on the bottom of basic needs, and we haven't gotten to the whole self-esteem and loving yourself enough. And, well, I mean, not loving yourself enough. I'm not even sure how to put it. But, I mean, the self-esteem and you, loving yourself you just talked about, where people really don't have much of a choice now than to stick with what they can get.
Yes.
And people who never had to go to a food bank for food now have to go to food banks. People who don't have access to, you know, as much physical activity. And then there's all the Public Health England reports that are coming out about minority ethnicities, like black communities and Asian communities and other minority ethnic groups, and obesity and underlying conditions and how they relate to COVID and how they make you more susceptible. And still the issue of social issues, still the social issues that put people in below the, you know, the, not below the poverty line, you know, but in a disadvantaged position, basically. And people really don't have a choice, you know, don't have access to good food, don't have access to the fish or the vegetables or the chicken. Or their first, I mean, idea is not to buy vitamins with the money they have. They just have to go straight to buying a big bottle of soda or a bag of chips, you know, to basically feed their families. Where at this point, so many people are in survival mode.
Yes.
And body image will be such a big problem when we come out. If we do come out of COVID, and I hope we do, because I'm tired.
We will.
We will. I'm hoping that we do. But even during this period, it's going to be such a huge issue. And I mean, given your experiences, what do you think that we can, what kind of conversation should we be having around this at the moment?
I think what we all have to just accept is the fact that this has completely changed the world. It's changed the way in which the world has functioned, and there's so many different things that's out there, so many things that are being said. You've got people who sit on various different sides of the fence, and regardless of what your opinion is of what's going on at the minute, we're in it. So there's no change in that. Even moving forward, I mean, I'm someone, I used to travel a lot, sort of overseas, for whether it's for work, business, pleasure. It's, you know, it's changed everything. And we can all sit there and have this sort of, you know, well, when we come out the other side. But when we do come out the other side, it's still going to be completely different to what we've experienced. I mean, my parents are in their 60s now, and they've turned around and said, you know, they weren't around when the war was going on, but they've turned around and said never in their lifetime have they ever seen anything like this. And that's from that kind of demographic. But then you look at the youngsters and the impact that it's having on the youngsters. I mean, I'm nearly 40, but you've got the sort of the digital era, the sort of the social media world, and it's having an impact on the older demographic. I don't know whether or not it's fair to say that maybe that a lot of them have a little bit more resilience because they've kind of got that, listen, suck it up. Some of them have been through the wars, this, that and the other. It's fine. But then you've got younger generation now who just spend their lives on the phone, on the computers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember being able to go out and play in the streets or down the fields with your friends, and you're out in the fresh air. You weren't just sat there in a room. So everybody is focused on what everybody else is doing because of social media, because of your YouTubes and your Facebooks and your Instagrams and so on and so forth. They're measuring what life is like for them and what they're doing against what they're seeing on Instagram, which a lot of the time is this whole fake it until you make it.
Yeah.
And it's not real. So what they're basing their sort of reality on doesn't actually exist. So with COVID, it's sort of put them in an area like they don't know what to do. They can't go out and have that release at the nightclubs or the bars. And you're starting to see, like I said, even some of the strongest people crack. But I think people need to be aware that it is okay to say that I don't feel okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And not just within the sort of the black, brown and ethnic minority communities, but with, I think with everybody as a whole, you feel like you've got this whole persona that you have to portray. Mm. Whereas I'm one of these people that if I'm not having a good day, I'm like, listen, let me just keep myself to myself. Or I'll say, having one of those days, I'm not really embarrassed. I'm not ashamed to sort of open up. But that's me personally. I think it depends on what kind of an environment you've also been brought up in.
I totally agree. And I think, talking about people who, are at that very bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I think, it's knowing that you do have resources. You may not have lots of resources, but you have something. You have access to basic food, even if it is from a food bank. Most people have access to the internet, which, whilst it can have its problems, is also a benefit. There's lots of knowledge on the internet. So there's lots you can do with basic vegetables, for instance. Now, there are ways you can get your basic vitamins without having to spend lots of money in, a health food store, for instance. Also, when it comes to the mind, that, it's about how you perceive things and how you view things. I can't say this enough. I think it's also about the people that you're around. If you're around people who are constantly in negative moods or constantly talking down the situation, and I know that is kind of like a societal thing at the moment. We're all not feeling great, but I don't think that has to be the way we talk about the situation. I recorded a podcast this morning which is talking about how we, how you can create the best out of this moment. My daughter and I, we've discovered lots of new parks, for instance. We're baking new things. We're spending lots of time together. We're playing basic board games that I used to play when I was younger. I know that's not really what we're talking about. But what I'm saying is, I think there's ways of taking advantage of the situation. We've got time in a way that we've never had time before. We haven't got as many distractions. So what are the good things that we can take out of this? How can we be creative? And one thing I know, I've lived in poverty when I was younger. We were six of us. I don't know that when you're flat on your face, one thing you've always got is creativity.
Yeah.
And you can make something out of nothing. Mm. So it's about how do you tap into that? Mm. That's what I would advise people to do, to be creative.
Creative, but I mean, it's like you talk about, like being able to play ball games and in a space where people live in high rise buildings where they don't have gardens, may not have as much access to internet. Because if you've lost your job and all you're focusing on now is food, I mean, there's so many things you're going to be losing in the process as well. And I remember doing a lot of research into the school system and how people engaging with the online system and things like that, and realized that maybe one family has only one laptop that everybody has to use, or as many smartphones. I think sometimes we feel like because we live in a first world country, or we live in a first world, like I don't know what that term we use for live in the UK, but we live in an advanced world. Everybody has a smartphone, everybody has access to the internet, everybody has, these little things that they can hold on to. But there are a lot of people who are really struggling, and even if they can't be creative, I think people have had it up to here with lockdown, because I personally, like, I saw I was doing great and I'm like, no, I'm crumbling. I just need to get out of here. And people are struggling with mental health issues. People are struggling with anxiety and depression. And, you know, people are just not in the best place right now. And what kind of advice would you have for people who have to deal with body image problems, food poverty, and just the I don't know where I'm going and I'm not okay face?
I can only talk from my experience. I don't know the answer for everybody. I've not been in the situation that everybody's been in. And that's the case for everybody. But I know when I was going through my darkest days after breast cancer, you know, I went through a period of depression. The one thing that really helped me was meditation. And, you know, before then, I just thought, oh, it's just one of those yogi things. And, you know, it's not for me. But then I saw this woman who'd also been through breast cancer. And she was just so full of beans and so full of life. And, like, we were, like, in a conference. And everybody else was like, you know, woe is me kind of thing. But she was just, you know, different. I asked her what was it that she'd gone through. And she basically said she'd gone through a particular meditation program. So I bought the book. I got the audio file. And I committed to this particular program for 8 weeks. And I tell you that by the end of this, the 8 weeks, in fact, by the seventh week, I was a completely changed person. I was a lot calmer. I was a lot happier. I had a lot more clarity. And okay, that costs money, but meditation itself is free. You can sit and breathe and focus on your breath, like for 10 minutes and try and ignore your thoughts or let your thoughts pass by. And that is meditation. And it's something that's scientifically proven to work. And that's what sold me. And so for me, that's what I advise people to have a go. Have a go, even if it's just for a week, 7 days, 10 minutes a day, have a go.
I'm a massive believer in, because I meditate every night before I go to bed. It's and I always notice the difference if I've had a couple of days where I haven't. And I've got some of my friends will laugh at me, and you know, my mum and dad might hear the Zen music coming from my bedroom or whatever it may be. But you said you can get YouTube videos if you're sitting there thinking I can't empty my mind or whatever it might be. I surround myself with crystals and Buddhas, and I'm not particularly one of these religious people. I'm quite spiritual, but I put my crystals out in the full moon. I smudge my house with sage and all sorts, anything that can try and help me to be positive. I speak about this, and I mean I laugh about it as well with my listeners when I'm on the radio. And it's just trying to sort of, I think you've got to find something that's right for you. But I think what people need to do within the current state as well is not to oversaturate themselves with everything that is going on within the media, because I think that's something that can be quite detrimental to people. Because I mean, I know people who have literally got the news channel on in their house all day, every day. And then if it's in the background, and if that's all they're constantly hearing, again, the whole meditation thing is about the frequency that you sort of, it's about energy, it's about the frequency that you vibrate on. So again, if you're around negative people, sort of negative brings negativity, positives bring positives. So it's being sort of, I suppose, a voice for people that, and people listen to my show, they're like, oh my God, it's so refreshing to hear someone who's not talking about the pandemic or not talking about politics. And that's because I understand that they've had enough. Yeah. So if they can just come for some kind of an escape, and even if there's some people, I'll get messages coming through saying, oh, Natalie, I've been really struggling with my mental health this week. It was, I think it was last month in October, was World Mental Health Awareness Month, and there was a specific Mental Health Awareness Day. I speak about this on my show, and I address it because, and the amount of messages you'll get through from people saying, thank you so much for just, you know, highlighting on the fact that, you know, about mental health awareness. And it's, again, it's something that we have to talk about. Yeah. But in terms of what do we do to try and help people who are struggling, it's just don't bombard your brain with everything that's going on, because at the end of the day, like I said, we're in it. We can't change what's going on, whatever's going on with regards to government decisions and so on and so forth, you know, whether people want to go and protest and so on and so forth. We're not sitting high enough in that chain to make an immediate impact on what they're going to do. But what we can do is sit there and think, right, okay, the world is still turning. There's people out there who don't necessarily just have or are worrying about the likes of COVID. You've got people who are worried about their businesses that are now crumbling. Yeah. And the fact that whether they're a sole, you know, their businesses that are sort of themselves, or whether they've got a number of employees that work for them. So I think it's what this has done is almost put kind of like a reset for everybody.
Yeah.
No matter what what walk of life you're from, whether you're sort of from the lower end of the spectrum to the multi-millionaires. Oh, yeah. It's just the pressure that this has put upon everybody. It's all relative to that particular individual at the time. So just if you can just take a step back and think, do you know what, while all this is going on, there are still people out there who have the likes of cancer, or who are struggling with MS, or who are struggling with sort of depression to the extent where, God forbid, but sort of suicidal tendencies. There is still other things that are going, the world is still turning.
Yeah.
So it's to just sort of almost to take a step back and think, hold on a minute, it's not just the pandemic that's taking place. And then obviously you've mentioned things when it comes to things like body image. I've had people that have messaged in that just like, there's so many people who've had the opportunity to start engaging in activities that they never would have had the time or the opportunity to do before. Yeah. Whereas now they're like, right, okay, I've got to try and make the most of this. So whether it's going out for a run or going out for a walk each day, I've got one of my friends who's lost so much weight because they were walking about 10 miles a day. And I'm not saying some people are sitting there, I'm not going out for a walk for 10 miles a day, but even if it's just around the block.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just start little things in increments. Don't judge how you are as well based on body image. How do you learn to love yourself? At the end of the day, there's people out there now who are going for surgery to get implants because they want to have a bigger backside or they want to have bigger... And it's again, it's down to... What does that individual feel is right for them?
Yeah.
And it's just looking and thinking, do you know what? There's a bigger picture.
Yeah.
The grand scheme of things, we're here. And I think it's gratitude for me is one of the biggest things that has come out of this whole thing. It's just being grateful for the fact that as much as my mom and dad might drive me mad, I've been in lockdown with my parents. Mm. So many people out there that went months without even being able to see their parents.
Yeah.
So it's like really at the end of the day, if you put on a few pounds, then like I said, it's about balance. If you can, you know, eat what you want to eat, but at the same time, if you're going to go and eat umpteen Big Macs
in moderation,
exactly. If you're going to eat umpteen Big Macs, then you know you're going to put on a fair few pounds or whatever. So if that's the case, then what are you going to do to sort of counteract that? Yeah. You know, I put my gym. I love my swimming. I love my saunas. I love my steams. But I'm not comfortable because my dad with his diabetes sits in the high risk.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in a position where I put him in any kind of situation. So I've just, you know, paused my membership. But you can go out into your garden. If someone's got a flat and they don't have a garden, what can you do? Like I said, there's YouTube videos. Fancy. There's just, you don't have to sit there and do the most intense HIIT workouts.
Nope.
It can just be a little bit at a time. And then I think there's certain books out there that you can reprogram that it takes, it's not even 30 days, is it 21 days to be able to reprogram your mind and sort of, you know, get out of certain
get into
a new habit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if we're in lockdown for another minimum, say 4 weeks, then within those 21 days, you can literally start from now and think, right, okay, little.
You could set that as a challenge, couldn't you?
Yeah, very
absolutely.
Much so.
It's about your perspective.
Yeah.
And I think also talking to people and connecting, that's really, really important, particularly for those who are alone. Reaching out to those people is essential. Even if you're just exchanging WhatsApp voice notes, it's still a form of connection.
Yeah. It's been a lot, and it's been exciting. I wish we didn't have to end it.
I think this is something there's so many different avenues as well that you can go down off the back of this. But again, I think it's just knowing that if you are someone that can be there for somebody else and know within your circle that you've got people who are close to you who can be there to lift you up when you need it. Because someone said to me the other day, they said it's great if you're sort of this person that brings all this energy to everybody else. But they said, and you bring this sunshine, but they said to me, who heats the sun? And I was just like, you know what, I love all those little sort of little mini statements that you'll get. And it was like, it's true. So, you know, it's sometimes if you do need to sit and think, you know what, I just need to be on my own today to just have a recharge. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're sitting there and you feel like you want to bawl, then, you know your friends that you can call to do that with, and then just letting them know that, listen, I've spoken to some friends who've been at their lowest ever, and I'm like, listen, I don't care what time of day it is or night. My phone is always on. If you're feeling low, pick up the phone and call me. It's like, yeah, but I feel like I'm talking about the same thing. It's like, if you're talking about the same thing, you're talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's better to let it out rather than just to sit within you and fester.
Absolutely.
Because that can then trigger illnesses.
Yep. Yeah.
The way in which the body manifests stress is incredible.
Yeah.
So, just know who your people are and just be open to being able to share.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Natalie.
And everybody's beautiful. Yeah. Doesn't matter what size, shape, size, race, religion,
Yeah, that's amazing. Picked a lot from this today. Take a step back and, just be grateful. And if you need to just be away from everything because you're overwhelmed, do that. Mm. Also, you are unique, you're amazing, love yourself, you're beautiful. Take time to meditate as well. Make use of the time as much as you can to put in new habits. Remember that you are not alone and that help is available, especially during this period. There are helplines from Mind and Samaritans and Natalie's amazing radio show where she plays good music and, just lets you chill.
Feel
and
good factors.
Exactly. Yeah. And Rebecca's Time to Glow Up, if you want
podcast,
to. Yeah, podcast as well that you can sign up to. It's on
timetoglowup.co.uk or all Apple and TuneIn Radio and Amazon Music as well.
Yeah, okay. And Rebecca, Natalie's on what days?
Thursday through till Monday.
Yeah.
On BBC Across the Midlands. And you can visit my website, nataliegraham.co.uk. And I'm on social media.
What time are you on?
I am on. Oh yeah, I should have been a bit more specific. I'm on Thursday to Sundays. I'm on from 10 p.m. till 1 a.m. and then Mondays I'm on 7 till 10.
I'll be tuning in.
So yeah. I think life isn't a race. I think that's the most important thing. You're not in competition with anybody else. And as soon as people start to realise, it's not a race. So we were talking before we even started. How do you measure success? You don't have to measure it against other people. For some people, just getting up in the morning is a successful thing to do. So,
yeah. Thank you so much, Natalie and Rebecca. This has been an amazing conversation, and we've picked up so much from it today as well. We hope we can have you back on some other time and to continue this topic on body image, especially during COVID. This has been This Is My Lockdown podcast, and I've been Angela Kuma, your host. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.